All right, why don't we go ahead and get started? Let some other folks file in. Thanks for coming to the Strategic Communications Breakout Session. You may be wondering what that means, so we'll talk a little bit about that. My name's Jason Gorse. I've been coming to Terra Nova now for about two and a half years, and I'm just now starting the process to become an elder. So, and my primary responsibility is going to be for communications. So that's why we're here. And we're actually just really figuring out what that means to have an elder in charge of communications. So we're going to talk a little bit about mostly hypothetical things today, things that we're talking about implementing, a few things that we've already done, how the concept of communications fits into the leadership structure here. Just a little bit about of my background. It's a good fit for me because I work in communications professionally. I work in communications at RPI. RPI, Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, is the university on the hill up there. And it's mostly a science and engineering university, and my background is actually, I started out as a chemical engineer, then I morphed into science journalism, and then I sort of worked my way into doing public relations and communications for scientific societies and now scientific universities. So I thought maybe it'd be good to just get an idea of who some of you are, and we don't need to go around and introduce everybody, but I thought I'd be interested to hear why you came to a session on strategic communications, other than maybe there's only about three sessions, so you didn't have a lot of options. But what are you hoping to get out of this? What kind of questions do you have? Anyone want to volunteer? Well, my goal is kind of all of the above, and I think one of the things I want to help you start thinking about how to put a communication plan in place for your church if you haven't already done so. And I think maybe the best way to do that is to walk you through the plan that we just recently put in place. It's still evolving. We just started it. So I've really only been working. I've been coming here for a while, but I just started working with the lead team on communications for about the past 5 or 6 months. So walk you through that. I also wanted to dispel some of the misconceptions of what public relations and marketing is and how it fits into the church environment, because it sounds like we all have some questions about that as well. So quickly, there's a few principles that guide the program at Terra Nova, and so we call this strategic communications. We don't call it marketing. We don't call it public relations. Not that those are necessarily four-letter words, but in the evangelical world in particular, the concept of marketing is really closely associated with the seeker-sensitive movement, which has used a lot. In the past, they've used a lot of corporate marketing tactics, market research, demographics, and those sort of things, to try to understand their audience and really to tailor their message to the audience. And while in principle I don't think that's a bad thing, in practice that's amounted in a lot of cases to at least what I would say is sort of turning the gospel into another commodity or another product. I don't know if anybody saw the January cover story in Christianity Today magazine. It's worth a read if you get a chance. But I thought this quote was interesting. It says, "This unavoidably promotes a consumerist soteriology. When it's just you and Jesus, you, the consumer, invite him, the product, into your heart, brand adoption, and get saved, consumer gratification." Just another good quote. I don't know if anyone's familiar with David Wells or with his most recent book. It's called Courage to be Protestant, Truth Lovers, Marketers, and Emergence in the Postmodern World. It's also a really good resource. I would recommend it. And he talks a lot about how sort of both the seeker-sensitive movement and the emergent church has taken completely different tacks on how they do this, but they're doing the same thing in terms of turning the gospel, turning ministry and evangelism into a customer-oriented approach. And so I thought a good quote here. He says, "Consumer appetite reigns. Those who attend churches are now like any other customers you might meet in the mall. Displease them in any way, and they will take their business elsewhere." So the only reason that I share these with you is we have made a conscious decision at Terra Nova that our communications is not going to be driven by these kind of marketing approaches. It's not, communications is going to be more of it's going to be more of a community extension kind of thing, more of a bottom line business proposition. But it's not about how we share the gospel, how we evangelize, and that sort of thing. The other thing is why don't we use the term public relations? I think this quote pretty well sums up what a lot of people think about PR professionals, and maybe even some of you. I think PR is one of those professions that has a really bad name. And as a Christian PR professional, I take offense at this, but I understand where people are coming from. But PR doesn't have to be about propaganda. It doesn't have to be about about spin. It can be, and a lot of people practice it that way. But really, what, at least to me, what it's all about is building an environment of support for your organization in the whatever your communities may be, whatever your publics may be, whether your publics, so for us, you know, it's the capital region. It's also, you know, we consider you guys one of our audiences, you know, the church in the Northeast region, other Acts 29 churches. So it's really trying to just build that positive environment. And that's one of the ways we can sort of pave the way for what we're trying to do with expanding our missional footprint, is by creating a positive environment to do that in. But nonetheless, we're kind of aware of the stereotype, and we don't really use the word public relations all that much. The other thing about communications at Terra is it's built around the discipleship spiral. We like graphics here, as you probably gathered. We have a lot of graphic artists. This is something that I think Ed came up with a while ago to illustrate the discipleship approach that we take at Terra Nova. And the idea is that the Christian life isn't so much, it's certainly not a static proposition, but it's also not really a linear progression from point A to point B. It's a spiral that starts at the inner point and goes outward. And it's best explained as sort of a cycle of experiencing a truth, embracing it, and then reflecting it to the world around us. And this is both how the church grows, and it's also how the gospel spreads in a community. And interestingly enough, this concept fits with the way that the communications industry is changing. Excuse me. I don't think Ed had that in mind when he was putting it together, but the new model of communications is really this kind of grassroots word of mouth marketing approach, where you build a community of what they call brand ambassadors that can kind of, you can build support through these ambassadors, and you can mobilize them for action. And the Obama campaign actually exemplifies this. They did an amazing job of creating this network of hundreds of thousands of people who they were in direct communications with via social networks, via text message, via Twitter. And this isn't an endorsement of anything political, but you know, everybody in the communications industry agrees that they just set a whole new standard for how this is done. But businesses are also doing it. They're taking this brand ambassador approach. And really, if you think about it, that's exactly what we're trying to do in the church, is we're trying to invest in people who are then going to be ambassadors and go out and share the message. And they're the ones who are the most authentic in terms of getting the message out. The third principle is that it's centered in the white zone. This is another Terra Nova term. So the leadership structure at Terra Nova is broken down into these three zones. There's the green zone, the blue zone, and the red zone. The green is the external. That's the community extension. That's what Matthew Miller is in charge of. The red zone is the internal zone. That's the executive pastor. That's Phil Taylor. The blue zone is the eternal theology and worship zone. That's the worship arts pastor, Scott Womer. And the confluence of the three zones is what we call the white zone. And that's where the lead pastor operates. So we have another guy who's an elder in process right now, and he's taking on stewardship, financial stewardship, primarily. And so he's very clearly in the red zone, the internal zone. Communications is one of these things that it goes all across all of the zones. So we've chosen to even though it's probably strongest in the external zone, which is what we're talking about today. Most of the work we've done so far and probably will continue to do is going to be focused on expanding our missional footprint and enabling the missional activities that we're trying to do. It's really centered on kind of the core mission of Terra Nova, and it's not it doesn't serve one zone any over any of the others. Lastly, we're consciously choosing to make communication strategic and goal-oriented. And if you're not strategic, if you're not selective about what your goals are for communication, you'll find out really quickly that communication is a part of everything that you do. And that's a real big misconception. So, you know, communication for us isn't about the sheets that we send home for Sunday school class to the kids. You know, we're setting some very specific goals, which I'm going to go into right here with you. We're trying to be very selective about what communication really means. So it doesn't get, partially this is just pragmatic. You know, there's only one of me, and we hope to have a team of people, but we can't do everything. So our plan that we've put together is broken into three sections. We've got big picture goals, general strategies under those goals, and then tactics that will be put in place on the ground to really put the plan into action. It's kind of like any other business plan, goals, strategies, and tactics. And so I'm going to walk through quickly. We've got four goals. I'm just going to give you an idea of what our goals are so you can maybe think about if some of these would apply to you. Again, we've purposely chosen just a small subset of goals, not trying to cover every single thing we want to do at the church, but some goals that we think we can actually accomplish. So the first one is to reach prospective attendees in the region, particularly those who are looking for a church community with a unique combination of solid theology and cultural normalcy. We think that describes us. We think that describes a lot of the Acts 29 network, obviously. And we think there's a lot of people in this region who maybe don't know we exist, but would like to know and would like to come and experience what we have here at Terra Nova. The second is to help facilitate a feeling of community among members of the Terra Nova family. Our emphasis is on encouraging discipleship, keeping people informed about opportunities to connect and serve, and providing web-based platforms for social networking. That's more of the internal communications focus. Third, this is one of the things we're doing today, provide resources to the church planning community in the Northeast, and also engage in dialogue with church planners worldwide. And fourth is to reach neighbors in Troy and the Capital Region, focusing on our primary community extension platforms. And Matthew Miller talked a bit about what those actually are. And then the strategies, these are some of the strategies. There's a few more, but I'm not going to try to go into all of them. And I just want to give you an idea of sort of what the categories are, and then I'll give you sort of some examples under each strategy of what kind of tactics we have in place and what we've been doing. And I'm not going to talk for too long because I want to make sure you guys have more chance for questions. I also want to do a couple of exercises to get you thinking about what the components of your communication plan might need to be. So I'll go into a little more detail in each of these. So branding and visual identity. Branding is just a fancy word that basically means you're trying to capture the look and feel of a place. And we are really fortunate at Terra Nova. We have some extremely talented graphic designers. I'm not one of them, by the way. I have nothing to do with any of this other than just kind of advising and helping talk through it. But I don't design at all. So this is, if you've been to our website, this is, and we just had our website redesigned, this is the front splash page. And a lot of thought went into trying to capture the feeling of Terra Nova. And that's so the big T is kind of our logo, and it's on this old map of Troy. And if you click on each of these X's, a box pops up, and it's got a different item from what we call the Terra Nova lexicon, which is basically just sort of explaining things like incarnational and missional and monastic versus missional, and some of the terms that we use. I should say, so the website, if you get a chance, check out our website. We just had a full blown redesign done, and it was a great blessing to us because we actually got it done for free. One of the members of our church is a graphic designer, and he works for a firm called Over It Media. And every year they do this event called the Create-a-thon. So basically Over It Media, and it's a national thing, and there's graphic design firms around the country that do this, where they basically dedicate a full 24-hour period, all of their resources, to one nonprofit organization. And so this year we applied for that through Kevin, the guy who goes to our church, and we got it. So basically for nothing at all, we got like a $40,000 website. So I would encourage you to look into the Create-a-thon if you don't already have a website or if you're looking to redesign yours. It was great. So this is the intro to that. So that's kind of the other component of branding and visual identity is messaging and to try and sort of determine the voice. And one of the things, and we're still in the process of doing this, one of the things we find about the voice of Terra Nova is it's kind of schizophrenic. You know, sometimes we're trying to be hip, and sometimes we're trying to be very serious, and sometimes it's intellectual and academic, and sometimes it's very flip. And we're trying to sort of come up with a voice that is coordinated and makes sense and fits us, but is the same in every type of environment, wherever there's printed text. Promotional media is very simply just the printed collateral that you're going to want to have on hand. And I would urge you, if you haven't already, to really think about what are the pieces that you need and spend some time designing them. Even if you can find, you know, maybe there is a local graphic designer or firm who will work with you. Maybe there's somebody in your congregation. If not, pay somebody if you can afford it because it really makes a difference. And one of the things to keep in mind is you want everything to be coordinated as much as possible. And so your printed material should reflect the look and feel of your website and vice versa. And these days, really, it's the website that drives the printed material, not the other way around. It used to be the other way around, but now really the website is kind of the locus of all the activity, and then the different pieces reflect that look and feel. And come up with a budget. If you can put a line in the budget for advertising and collateral development, I know everybody's got a different budget situation, and I know we're all in challenging budgets, but if you can actually set aside some money for that, that would be really helpful, because unfortunately it's not free. It's actually quite expensive. And so if you haven't embarked on any of this, you'll be really shocked at how expensive it is. So which is why I would sort of reiterate, you want to pick a very few pieces that you want to focus your energy on and make a bunch of copies of them and use them over and over again. So this is our guide page, which we also redesigned recently, and I just wanted to show you an example. This is kind of it has the same kind of look and feel, although we're trying to make it look a little bit like an old school concert poster. And this was also designed by the guys at Over at Media. And they're really talented. So you see a lot of the same elements. There's the T there. That Terra Nova Church is sort of the new logo, and the fonts. The kinds of things you don't think about very much, but the fonts on here reflect the fonts on the website. So if you work with a graphic design firm, they can give you a package, of different fonts, different colors that you can continue to use over and over again in your various pieces. So this is just the other side of the website. And one of the things, so at the bottom here, you can't really see it, but it says, it has the Latin for Terra Nova and Church. It means fresh ground. So we try to use Latin anywhere that we can, just to look really cool. This is just another piece that we do for the Terra Nova Gallery. This one actually, I put this up because it doesn't reflect the look and feel. It reflects the old look and feel that we have, that we had in place. I think it looks fine, but we're hoping to update this as well. But this is you may have seen the cards actually on the table when you came in, but these are the cards that we use to promote the Terra Nova Gallery. And we change the images every month for the Triad. That's my wife's art there. Shameless plug for my wife. Okay, web presence. So I think I hit on this already, but really the web is kind of the locus of all the activity. It's really important, especially in this day and age, to have a good website. And good is kind of subjective. Not everybody's going to have a free $40,000 website like us, so we're really blessed. But you can. There are lots of ways to put some thought into your website to make it better. And I'm sure. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yes, absolutely. I'll put my email up at the end, and you can just shoot me an email, and I'll send it to you, so anybody can. It may be. I don't know. I can ask Phil to put it up there. Okay, yeah. Yep, I'll do that. I'll definitely do that, and then you can download it that way. So these are some of the principles that we use to guide designing a website. How many of you already have a website that you would say you're happy with? Three. I don't think so. So not many of you. Most of you are any of you embarking on designing a website or redesigning a website? Right. Yeah. Are you in the process of redesigning it, or are you just kind of living with it? That's encouraging. Because, our goal isn't necessarily to have a really fancy website with tons of flash animation, although we happen to have that because we got this great, great deal. But it's really much more about your website should reflect who you are as a church. And so just these principles here, I'll quickly walk through them. It's a website, it's important for it to look nice, but it's more important that it looks clean than it looks, beautiful or fancy or anything like that. Content is much more important. So whether that content be you've got sermons on there that people can download, whether the content is the words that describe what your church is all about and the core beliefs. So on the same topic, beauty can't make up for emptiness. You've got to have good content. And it's not just about technology. People don't use websites, they visit them. So keep in mind, people are mostly just coming to your website for a very brief visit to find out a little bit about your church, and they're leaving. We'll talk a little bit more about other ways to, internally. This is when I talk about the website. In this case, I'm really talking about the external audience, the people who are coming to your site who are not members of your church. You know, there's other means to connect with them, and that's some of the social network parts. The shopping effect is basically the idea that people in our society are trained to treat websites like shoppers, like online shoppers. So they come to your site and they judge your church based on its website. I think Pasquale, you know, basically said that, you know, he was able to discern something about Terra Nova based on the website. So people are trained, and that's what people do. They shop when they're online. So just keep that in mind when you're designing. Visitors don't understand your internal language, so don't make them try to figure it out. You want to make things clear and easy. An example that I use at RPI, we have our division of enrollment management, which is basically, so we call it enrollment management, but no high school kid who's applying to RPI knows what enrollment management is, so we call it admissions. You'll see a lot of universities use terms that don't make any sense to a student who's trying to apply. So same thing with the church. You want to make the various sections very clear to people. You know, if it's online giving or if it's media or download or whatever, you want to make sure that people understand what they're getting. You want to create value, and this is some of these are principles where people have a more robust website. Obviously, if you've got a basic website, you're not going to be able to do all this. But you want to create value for going online. You don't want your website to just be a mirror of everything that you hand out in print, but you want to have extra things on your website that are going to get people to go to the website. So whether it's videos, audio podcasts, it could be anything. It could be downloads that go, you know, questions that go deeper into the sermon or that you use for your small groups or something like that. You want to use the web to both make connections with people, so between the church and other people, but you also want to try to use the web, and here I'm not just talking about your website, but the web in general, to help facilitate connections between the people in your church. And that's where Facebook and some of these other social networks can come into play. And I'll talk a little bit more about social networks, but one of the things I think a good principle to keep in mind is when you're developing virtual communities, whether it's through Facebook or whether it's through some homegrown network, your virtual community should always mirror a real community. So, you know, if you've got a group of people who are all in the worship team, that's, you know, you can have a online network of the worship team. So it's really important to keep that in mind. These are just some of the social networks that we at Terra Nova have embraced, some to a much greater extent than others. So we've got a Facebook group. We're going to actually turn that into a Facebook fan page, which sounds kind of arrogant, but people are migrating. A lot of institutions are migrating from groups to fan pages, and I can talk more about that later if you have questions about Facebook. But if you haven't started one, you should start a fan page and not a group. iTunes, we podcast all of our sermons through iTunes. We put videos on YouTube. Currently, we have a blog, and the blog is really more of a one-way communication tool where we kind of put news stories and things that are happening on there. But we're trying to turn it more into a two-way tool where we will, you know, one of the pastors will post some thought-provoking questions, and we'll try to get people in the congregation to comment and to use that as a conversation tool. We're also hoping to launch a blog for the lead pastor, for Ed Marcel, at some point, in conjunction with some opportunities, some book and article opportunities that he's got coming up, so we're hoping to do something with that. Flickr, we don't use Flickr too much, but it's a great way to, if you can encourage members of your community to post pictures of things that are happening out in their small groups and other life opportunities for to demonstrate what's going on in the life of the church. Twitter, we've sort of started on Twitter. How many of you are familiar with Twitter? Oh, wow, lots of people, I'm impressed. Okay. We've sort of started Twittering, but we're not exactly sure. I think like most people, we haven't really figured out what to do with it. Yes. Twitter is it's a microblogging service. It's kind of like the height of vanity. It's basically you can post... You can post 140 character updates and it's all meant to answer the question, what are you doing? So right now I'm giving a talk to church planners. I could tweet that. It's based on a text messaging format. So it's microblogging, but people are really using it more as a kind of a conversation tool now. Does that help? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is exactly, and a lot of people actually, you can now update your Facebook status from Twitter, and a lot of people are doing that now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that was actually one of the things I was going to suggest. If you don't have a lot of money or you don't have graphic designers, WordPress is an amazing tool. The thesis theme for WordPress in particular is we actually use that at RPI for some of our blogs. But you can buy a license for something like $100 a year. I'm assuming you have the place to host it, and assuming that your hosting service can handle, I think it's PHP. You would probably know better than I do. But it's got to handle the blogging protocol. But assuming it can do that, yeah, WordPress is a great tool if you don't have the money to invest in sort of a real website. You can make it look almost like a real website. A lot of Liberty Church in Philadelphia. Do you know Liberty? Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I've noticed. So if you get a chance to check out their site, it's a good example of a. I think it's on WordPress. It's certainly in some sort of blogging format. So anyway, is anybody else using anything other than this in terms of social media? Does anybody use MySpace? I would say yes. I mean, MySpace is very big among high school students still. And, you know, if you're a band, you need to have a MySpace page. But it seems like most people are migrating to Facebook. Certainly college age and above, it's pretty much all Facebook. I guess we haven't thought about much about that because everybody in our church is connected. So, and most of the people in that we come in contact with are online all the time. So we have kind of the opposite problem, how to get people offline, honestly, into actual. That's what when I'm saying, you know, the virtual communities should mirror real communities so people actually meet face-to-face and they're not just doing everything on Facebook. It's a good question, though. I don't know. Really? Where are you looking? Yeah, honestly, Twitter might be the right thing for you because you can use Twitter all from a mobile phone, and that's actually what's based on. So maybe that might be one thing to explore. One other aspect of social media is, and a lot of institutions are doing this, where you want to be monitoring. It depends on the size of your church, but you know, and what kind of presence you have in your community. But it's good to monitor the social media sphere, and blogs and news and forums. You're reading this. Sorry, excuse the foul language here. But so we came across this posted on a Craigslist Rants and Raves. I'll read it. It says, "Does anyone know anything about the religious group over in Troy, a few doors down from Brown's? They have Sunday services in Rev Hall. My cousin has gotten involved with them and as a result has gone into zombie mode." You know the drill. No conversation can be undertaken without an attempt to divert it into talk about spirituality and similar stuff. Is it a cult? Any help on this? And there was actually a thread of people going back and forth, and fortunately some people defended us. This is just an example of it's good to pay attention. You can set up Google searches. You can actually search Twitter. You can set up a Twitter search and pull everything in via RSS feed. So you can constantly monitor your church's name, the name of your pastor, whatever you want to monitor. So if anybody wants to do that, I can show you how to do it. But it's good to, and there's a big discussion about whether you engage or not, and that's a whole other issue, but it's good to at least know what people are saying out there about your organization. That was an interesting one. Direct marketing is kind of a misnomer, but it basically is anything like email blasts that we send out, or event invitations, or printed mailings, and that sort of thing. This is our, I don't know, you can't see it all that well here, but this is our weekly email bulletin. It's called BIOS Weekly, and as you can see, it's we just redesigned it so it looks exactly like our website. Another thing that we do, and Facebook is really good for this kind of direct marketing. So we have a group of people who have signed up to get updates for the gallery, the Terranova Gallery, and so then we can send them out event invitations through that. So Facebook is a really good tool. If a lot of people in your congregation are on Facebook, you can use that to send them event notices. They can pull feeds for your podcasts and videos, anything. You can use Facebook. If you don't have a really solid web presence, you can actually use Facebook. If everybody's on Facebook. That's the key, though. It really just depends on. I mean, everybody here is on Facebook, but every congregation is different. Media relations is often overlooked, but wherever you live, there's a good chance that there may be a religion reporter, but even more important than that, there's community reporters who are interested in your church and the church as an institution, especially one that doesn't pay taxes. And we find that a lot as a university, and we get a lot of scrutiny because we don't pay. I would really encourage you to develop relationships with local reporters because they can be a really good ally in trying to help dispel some misconceptions about the church, about Christians in general. And so we've really tried to do that. We're just starting to do this. But one of the things we did, you heard Matthew talk about some of the abolition work that we've done. And so we had E. Benjamin Skinner in for a talk earlier this year. He wrote A Crime So Monstrous, which is a great book about human trafficking. So what we do, so we generated some media coverage. You know, we pitched to local reporters. We invited them to come and come to the event. We also did some advanced publicity. So we had a story in the Daily Gazette. And we also, and it's free, exactly. So this is, advertising is not free. This is what you call, in the parlance of the industry, this is called earned media. You basically earn it by convincing reporters to write about you. So one of the things we did is this was a big deal for us because WAMC, our local NPR station, they're not particularly fond of religion and institutionalized religion. So the fact that we were able to get them to cover this in advance, and they did a 3-minute interview with Ben Skinner and with Ed Marcel, our lead pastor. So not only was this free publicity for our event and for Terra Nova, but it's a tangible way for you to use the external media to advance some of the community extension goals that we have. And it's a form of advocacy. So we try to do this whenever we have an event. And another piece that we've used, you may have seen this, it's plastered all over the place around here. This was before my time, but it's something that has been really helpful. There was a cover story in the local alternative weekly, Metroland, that interviewed the three lead pastors. It was three back then, before Matthew came along. You can see the subhead, conservatively Christian but culturally relevant. Terra Nova lures Generation X back to church. It was better than we could have written ourselves. I mean, it was really excellent. The reporter really understood what we were trying to say. And we've had a number of people who have actually come to Terra Nova said they first heard about it through this Metroland article. And Ed has actually developed a friendship with the reporter. And it's just a good example of getting to know the local folks, local reporters and editors in your community. They can be a real asset. Lastly, I just want to talk about some of the events. And I think I think Matthew may have hit on all of these except for the blessing of the bar. That's something that we do with Browns just down the street. On St. Patrick's Day, Ed has been invited for the past, I think it's the past 2 years, and he's going to do it again this year. He goes in and he prays and officially blesses the bar before St. Patrick's Day. It's a great way to redeem a secular holiday that's all about drinking now when it actually had some great religious significance. And it's also just a really good way to get out there in the community. And so it's something that we're hoping to do. I think there was a TV reporter there last year, but we're hoping to do a little bit more publicity around that as well. And then we have Abolition Week and Troy Night Out, Matthew talked about as well. Does anybody have any other questions before we've got a little bit of time here to either take questions or the advice, we do this a lot. We do media training with our faculty members up at RPI because most of them aren't used to dealing with the media. Ed, fortunately, can talk off the cuff very well. You may have gathered that. He's very good with a soundbite. That helps. But what I would suggest you do if it's you being interviewed or somebody else in your church, you always want to have three messages. And so you want to sit down and write them out if that's helpful, but have points. Don't just go into an interview and wait for the questions to come, but actually have points that you want to make. And usually three is a good number just because you're not going to get in any more than that. So rehearse those three points. And what you can do is whatever the reporter asks you, just answer based on your three questions. You really don't have to answer their questions, especially if it's like a radio or TV interview. It'll be edited. So that's usually the best thing to do is just really make sure you come into it with something to say, as opposed to waiting for the question. I think the website itself should be primarily for people outside the church. I think you should design it primarily so you're communicating to someone who doesn't know what Terra Nova or whatever your church is about. So they would be able to come there and get a real feeling for what the church is like, what the community is like, what your beliefs are. And I would focus on, you certainly want, and so like our blog, for example, our blog is right now is mostly focused on external, kind of external audience, but we're trying to use it more to get our internal audience engaged. So there are certain things you can certainly use. And so like sermons, if you're going to have a sermon podcast, that's more likely to be for your internal community. So I guess maybe the way to answer it is the front page and the main thing that people are going to come to first should be definitely external oriented. And then you can have subsections that are for for people. I mean, BIOS Weekly is different because people have signed up for it. And really the way marketing is going is less push and more pull. And so you're supposed to, you know, the theory goes, you're supposed to provide feeds in just about any way, you know, feeds of information in just about any way people would want to get it, so they can choose their feeds. So they can sign up via RSS for information, they can sign up via email, they can get their feeds through Facebook, they can sign up on YouTube, you know, they can join a group on YouTube. And so we're focusing more on making sure that our content is out there in all those different streams. I would invest some money in printed material. You know, like I said, I would have some handouts. And one of the things we've even talked about doing is like a one-page fact sheet about Terranova that can be used for just about any kind of environment. Some people, you know, we haven't done this, but I've heard some people will have cards that they give to the people in their community, and they have them. It's almost like an evangelism tool. Like when someone's out there talking to people, say, "I go to Terranova, you know, here's a card, and it's got the website on it." But I would invest in some printed collateral, and I would invest in your bulletin or your guide page in redesigning that. And then the website. I mean, I do think the website, whatever resources you can put into the website. Mm-hmm. We do, yes. Yep, we'll do JPEGs and PDFs, and we'll put them. So like all of the Terranova Gallery PDFs go up on the website. Another thing that might be worthwhile and is not very expensive is get one of those flip mini video recorders if you don't already have one. You can get them for $150, $200 depending on whether you want HD or not. And you can very easily shoot videos of sermons. You can shoot videos. One of the things we're thinking of doing, and Mars Hill does this really well, is they do like sermon previews. They basically do video blogging. And they do sermon previews of Mark Driscoll, you know, talking about what he's going to be talking about in the sermon. So we've really relied heavily on video. And again, we're fortunate because we have some people who go to our church who are professional videographers. But you can do a lot with one of those flip HD videos. But one of the things about the website, I mean, it is, you can't count on people stumbling across it. So you can with a website. I mean, one of the things, if you're going to launch a new website, it's good to have a plan for how you're going to drive people to it. But one of the things I will say, in the sort of broader communications world, people are actually taking the tack that if you have the money to send out actual print, because people are so used to just, like, everybody is all electronic all the time now. So if you actually send something to somebody in the mail, it almost shocks them, and they're going to open it and they're going to read it, whereas they're just going to delete things from their email. So maybe on the flip side of that, it might be more productive than electronic. But we haven't really tried it. It's also pretty cheap to advertise. It helps. But advertising is, I would personally say invest in advertising in your local paper maybe before sending out mailings. But again, that's from not having tried it. So I don't know. We have a comment from back here. Well, word of mouth is a good way. I mean, but advertising, I mean, if you could take out everywhere, anywhere you have either an advertisement or a card, I mean, you put your website address on everything. That's the key. If you go out and you're speaking at a conference or something like that, you have your website. But I would say the best, you know, if I had to choose one thing, if you want to get people to the website, is, and a lot of communication campaigns are going this way, and you see this with half of the Super Bowl ads are, you know, some like cryptic commercial, you don't really understand what it's all about, and then it sends you to a website, and you go to the website and you find out more. We actually talked about, this is a little not so much an answer to your question, but this is something similar. We had talked about doing a campaign around Abolition Week where we developed an advertisement and posters around the community that was kind of asking questions about human trafficking and modern day slavery and getting people to wonder, like, well, what's this all about? And then driving them to a website where they go to the website to get the answer, and then they find out there's an event that they can go to. So, you know, if you can do something like that where you make people curious enough to want to go to the website and find out more, advertising can be really effective. I think that's a great question. I think that it's one of the reasons why we have very specific goals. And so, I can't answer the question because I don't know what your church's goals are. But if you can say, you know, my number one goal is to generate a feeling of community among the people I already have at the church, then I would invest in my time on Facebook and other social networking. If your number one goal is you need to get butts in seats and nobody in your region knows about you, then maybe you invest your time in advertising. You don't worry about the social media. I mean, frankly, we're not doing very much with social media because it's already happening at Terranova. People are already, everybody's on Facebook, they're already connecting with each other. So we're not investing much of our time as the leadership in that. We're just kind of letting it happen organically, and we're investing our time in other things like community extension. So, but to answer the blog question, a lot of people will say that if you can't do two posts a week or more, then it's not worth blogging. At least. Yeah, we do a lot of that. We have, like, so if someone goes out on a missions trip, they come back, we ask them to blog, either blog about it while they're there or come back and write a post. So we do a lot of that, too. It's almost impossible in that situation. And I think that's one just one of the realities of a church situation. When you have volunteers, you can only expect so much. But, so you don't, yeah. You do the best you can to, I think, you know, you make sure people understand. You try to keep it simple. You make sure people who are volunteering understand what Terra Nova is all about and what your core values are. But in the end, yeah, if you're going to have to entrust it to people who aren't experts or who aren't employed, you know, you have to. I mean, it depends on the amount of time you have. Like, I intend, you know, we're putting together a communications team, and we've just started. So we don't, I mean, I haven't, I'm just thinking of, like, what the positions would be. I don't even have people in mind yet. But I intend to do as much in the beginning, kind of vet everything before it goes out there. But hopefully, you know, that will move towards people being able to once you realize you can trust someone, then you can let them loose. But that's, I don't know, that's a hard question. Yeah, that gets back to the point I was making about the brand ambassador term. I mean, a lot of corporations are realizing now that they can't control the message. They never really did control the message. And to a certain extent, the best thing you can do is cultivate the people in your community who know what you're all about, who love the place. I mean, that's the idea of being an ambassador. So if you've got people in your church who really have an affinity for what you're doing and share the vision, that's, you know, you may not be able to control what they're going to say, but hopefully what they're, you know, the tone of what they're saying is at least going to fit with what you're saying. Oh, you've got another question. Oh, hold on. Well, what's coming up? I mean, I think Twitter is the you know, a lot of people are just figuring out what Twitter is, and Twitter is getting huge. And if you look, you know, Mars Hill does it. You know, they set the bar pretty high on a lot of the social media stuff, and they're all over Twitter now. So, you know, I would say Twitter's probably the next thing. It's hard to say. We haven't found out a good use for Twitter in our church other than, you know, he tweets, but it's more between him and other pastors and that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily something that, you know, we figured out how to use. But I think Twitter's probably the next thing. I don't know if others have thoughts, though. There's more functionality that way. So on a fan page, you can design a fan page, you can make it look better, and you can just do more with it. Well, we don't have a team. I'm the team right now. So we're really just figuring it out. What we're talking about doing. So I mentioned that it's kind of centered in the white zone. So it's not like just all community extension, but it's kind of picking and choosing what are the most important projects at any given time. But I think what we're hoping to get somebody who's going to manage social media. So that'll be one person on the team who runs the Facebook page, who posts the videos to YouTube, who oversees the blog. So that's kind of one, hopefully, a person on the team. We want another person who oversees multimedia, doing videos, doing audio and that sort of thing, audio slideshows, whatever, any kind of multimedia function. And then we want to have one or two people who are writers, who can write for the blog, who can write other stories, and then there's the graphic design component. I think those are the main pieces that we're thinking of, but we honestly haven't figured out. Be open to suggestions. All right, well, thank you all. Appreciate it.